Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Kitchen Garden offers down-to-earth advice from the finest minds in gardening to make sure you get the tastiest produce from your plot. Packed every month with hints and tips on growing your own fruit and veg, it's perfect for beginners and experts alike.
We have 7 different offers available exclusive to our podcast listeners, so there's something for every budget. And don't forget that all subscribers are eligible to sign in to our Subs Club on the Kitchen Garden website.
So go to www.classicmagazines.co.uk/KG229 for all the details.
Hello and welcome to episode 21 of the Kitchen Garden podcast, and thank you very much for downloading it. And I'm here with the KG team, and we're looking through the July issue this time. Quite a summary issue, as you'd expect. Peaches on the front. So we're going to take a quick look at jobs for the month, I think, on the plot.
We are. Well, there's a lot to do in July.
There is.
Well, there's a lot to pick and harvest in July.
So Martin Fish has been busy, hasn't he, with his various fruit and veg?
Yes, he has.
Good time of year to start picking raspberries.
Looks like his Labrador eats most of them. But
I've got many raspberries on my plot. I've got some in pots, actually. They do quite well in pots.
Oh, yeah.
Raspberries.
Mm. That's right, yeah. Yeah, there's a new variety, isn't there, that you can grow in pots.
Ruby Beauty. You've
Ruby
got one, haven't you?
Yeah. It didn't produce a lot of fruit last year, but I'm hoping this year.
Yeah.
Is yours doing all right?
It did last year. I moved it from pot and put it into the ground, and it did so much better, to be honest.
Yeah, my wife's still in the pot, so we'll have to see how it goes.
I thought I'd killed mine. Went away on holiday and came back, and it looked as if it had died, but it's all come back.
Oh.
So amazing. Yeah.
So he's harvesting some broad beans.
One of your favourites,
I'm a broad bean boy. But yes. I was picking some yesterday. And what amazed me was how many pods there were and how few beans. You know, you get a pile of pods, don't you?
Yeah, you
but you do get plenty.
It's a pity you can't eat the pods.
But I do pick them really small, and I think that's the difference between enjoying them and not enjoying them.
Yeah.
Are these in the polytunnel?
I've got some in the polytunnel. They've been ready for a couple of weeks, I think. But the ones that grow outside weren't that far behind them, actually. I picked some of those yesterday as well.
Cool.
That's
good.
Yeah,
we've got a good tip for you. It's in a couple of places in the magazine this month about freezing herbs.
Mm.
It's a good way of preserving your herbs is to pick the leaves off and then put them into a ice tray and fill with water. And then you just pop out the ice cubes when you want some fresh herbs in the winter.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Flowers as well, the porridge flowers in there.
Asparagus peas. Did you say you were growing some of those, Steve, or have I imagined that?
Have grown them in the past. Mm. Yeah, really pretty.
Lovely flowers.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure about the actual.
I've never met anybody yet that likes them.
Oh, right, but you've got to pick them really quickly.
Yeah, pick them young.
Really
you?
Young. They get tough so fast, yeah.
But they look nothing like peas, are they not? Sure.
No. No, they're actually a legume. I kind of liked them that much because I'm not growing them this year.
No, but I was really impressed with how pretty they were.
Lovely
flowers.
Ornamental. I mean, they're worth just growing in a border, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. And we've got old cherries. Yep, as always. I do love cherries.
The birds usually enjoy those as well, though, don't they?
They do, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think the piece we've got this month is all about how to protect them. Mostly, anyway. Although we've also got a nice feature on pruning them as well, pruning stone fruit, which is always a bit of a mystery to some
people.
Yeah,
well, it's the sort of thing you need to do in the summer, isn't it?
Mm.
Rather than winter with stone fruit.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
But you can also use summer pruning of apples this time of year. Obviously, that's just kind of just removing the excess growth, really, isn't it?
Mm.
To try and encourage more fruiting buds.
That's it. Yeah, I always cut the branches back when they've got about as long as your secateurs. I reckon it's about 8 inches or so, and then snip them back. I see Martin's also pruning gooseberries in here, which is a good idea, once they've got the fruit on. Because you quite often are taking the tips off. You take all the mildew as well, goes with it. So it's, and the green fly.
Yeah, well, mine have been attacked by the sawfly, gooseberry sawfly.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely stripped them
completely
bare.
Takes
I did have them covered and then I didn't get around to putting it back on.
Oh,
no.
And it's just amazing how quickly they...
Overnight almost, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the fruit's still there, but the leaves have just kind of been...
One of the things they suggest is once you see an attack is you can, if you put something underneath the bush, and like a bit of membrane...
Mm.
Oh yeah,
because that's supposed to. Because they do drop down, don't
so they?
Drop down, pupating
right?
the soil,
yeah.
and then they re-emerge and can sometimes stop future issues.
Yeah,
obviously haven't done a lot for this time.
Very good. Yeah.
And in the greenhouse, I notice the sweet corn.
Yes.
But you're growing some of your pollinators.
I'm giving it a try. Yeah, it's got a little way to go yet. But,
so it's wind pollinated, isn't it? So are you going to go rush through your polytunnel, creating a
flapping your
drop,
arms,
flapping your arms,
blowing?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Or giving them a good
something
shake.
Like that. I should be keen.
Are you a shaker or a blower?
Yeah. Yes, prefer a good shake. I should go through. I'll give them a tap when I'm doing my tomatoes. I've got to do the same with those. Yeah, I'm a bit paranoid, actually. I've not grown them inside before. And I'm leaving the doors open and just hoping that I get some bees in. I've grown some borage in there and some tadgetes to try and get them in as well.
For the tomatoes.
Yes, it's not going to help me sweet corn, is it? Wind pollinated. But yes, I should still have to tap those. Although with both the doors open on each end, you know, it gets a wind tunnel effect, so... and the peas are fine. They've podded up well, so
nice hopefully. And protected in the polytunnel as well, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
It's might
get
blown to bits really where I am, but outside.
So they've got a little way to go, but growing a variety called Bodacious, which I've never tried before. It's a modern one, I think. And way to go. I've also got some runner beans in there, so I'll have to see how they go because. I don't get the insects on those. I should have to go round every night with a brush one time. Shaking and waving. I'll be brushing as well.
Brushing.
Unusual variety, aren't they, Steve?
Yes, yeah. It's called Black Emperor, which I know nothing about. It's a heritage variety.
Mm.
I'm beginning to wonder if somebody is winding me up and just made the name up when they gave me the seeds because I can't find anything on it at all. So either it's extremely rare or I'm very gullible. But... yeah, I mean, it's lovely black, glossy black seeds. And,
is that where you think they get the name from? Or?
I'm guessing, yeah. Let's say they're in full flower now.
Red flowers?
Very pretty red flowers. They had nice purple stems when they first came through. We'll see. But, not got the first pods pollinated yet, but I'm hopeful. And we've got a little bit on tomato care in the greenhouse. So that's, again, just getting the first fruits now, are you, Tony?
Yeah, nipping side shoots.
My quad tomato's going well.
That's right.
The grafted tomato with four stems.
Have you managed
I've
to...
I've managed to fan
span
them
it.
Out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, taking the side shoots off and...
So they're all the same variety, it's just four grafted shoots.
Four grafted
on one
shoots,
plant.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's going to be interesting.
So you still have to pick out the side shoots on them.
Yeah.
be interesting, wouldn't it, to see what they produce.
Yeah, I've made a mistake. I've grown several varieties in the greenhouse I've not grown before. But I found that I've got a mixture now of cordon ones and bush ones.
Mm.
So, of course, you side shoot the cordon ones,
yes,
don't you?
Yeah.
Not the bush ones. So it's not going to be long before I start side shooting the bush ones and leaving the cordon ones. So I'm going to have to make myself some labels, I think.
Yeah, all right. You can put some strawberry runners, get some strawberry runners going as well, can't you? If your strawberries are you know, developing runners.
Yeah.
Just pop them in some compost and
you might fix them in.
You want some is it strawberries and cream?
Just add cream.
That's the one.
Mm.
Hasn't started to flower yet.
It's a bit earlier. They're still small, aren't they?
Yeah.
I saw that last year at the trial ground, growing in a basket, and it looked wonderful.
Pink flowers.
Right, it's pink flowers and the
really
red
nice,
strawberries.
Yeah,
aren't they?
Nice
quite
a
good
ones,
size of strawberries.
Yeah.
Lovely flavour. So, yeah,
ooh,
look forward to those.
Mm.
And if anyone's seen the video on YouTube, we've got planting up a planter, which we did recently, planter from Haxnix. I planted strawberries in that and they're growing really well.
No, yeah.
Yeah, loads of fruit. I'm going to have to cover it up, though, because the birds have had most of it. So
yeah.
Those things just remembering, isn't it?
There was a nice letter about rhubarb leaf mulch, you know, use your rhubarb leaves.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You know, to keep your weeds coming up.
It's a good idea, that, isn't it?
Because I suppose as they rot, they, you know, bring back nutrients to the soil.
Yeah. Because I suppose some people might worry because they say they're poisonous, aren't they, rhubarb leaves? Of course, if you just put them on the soil, it's not actually going to cause a problem, is it?
No, they're fine then. As soon as they're rotted down, same in your compost, isn't it? Once they've rotted, they're okay.
And so you've used a bit of grass clippings, don't you, in your range of
single
crops?
Especially things like sweet corn, you know, just keep the moisture in. And again, it feeds the crop as well as you're going along.
Good
keeps
idea.
The weeds down a bit, not totally.
So you're growing your Dubenton's kale again, Em?
Yeah, gosh, it's an amazing plant, that Dubenton's kale, a variegated form. So it's really pretty. It's got this lovely white edge to the leaves.
Oh yes.
It's
and
lovely.
Once you get an established patch, it literally just stays. It just grows all year round, and you can harvest it all year round. And obviously during the summer you just pull off some little shoots and stick them in a pot, and within a couple of days they've rooted.
Wow.
They root so well. And it's a nice mild tasting kale. It's not bitter. So it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And yet it's so rare. You just can't find it anywhere. I think I got mine from Pennard Plants, but
is that the only place you found that do it?
Yeah. So it's very ornamental, really.
It's lovely, isn't it? I like the white edges of this.
Yeah. And I don't know of any other kales that are sort of perennial or that you can certainly take cuttings from. It's quite unusual, really. But, I mean, there are some very pretty kales, aren't there? I mean, your grows, aren't you, Steve, that are supposed to be cut?
Yeah,
there's a lot of work going on.
That curly one we've got, it's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to...
It came free with KG, didn't it?
That's right, yeah, the red curly.
Red curly.
Scarlet.
That's it.
Lovely. Yes, so that's a nice one. Grew that last year, looked really nice with calendulas in the garden. And pot marigolds.
What does it taste like?
Lovely.
It's not a bitter...
No,
sometimes the reds
it's not
are
too
quite
bad.
Bitter, aren't they? But
it was okay. It went right into the winter as well, so it was sort of the last thing standing, if you like, right through until the next spring before I pulled it up. I'm trying one called Duo Mixed. So I think the seed companies have latched on to the fact that they can be quite ornamental, and this has got two colours. It's one a bit like your Dubenton's kale there, and it's got the variegated leaves. Well, I think these are supposed to be white with a green edge, curly sort of edge. And another one with a sort of cerise, really bright cerise pink midribs. That's supposed to be sweet as well, a lot sweeter than ordinary kale, so I'm trying that this year. I think that was a T&M Thompson Morgan one. But talking about colourful veg, we've got a nice feature on beans in this one, Heritage Beans by Rob Smith. He mentions a lot of the colourful podded French beans, dwarf French beans and climbing French beans. I'm growing some of these this year as well. Some purple podded ones, again in the polytunnel. But I'm not so worried about those because they're self-fertile, aren't they? So I think we've got to worry about the bees with that one.
There's some so strange names of these heritage beans, aren't there?
Yeah.
So the one called the Lazy Housewife.
That's right.
Yeah. The days before PC, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Wait to see the lettuces in next month's issue.
Oh, yes.
Some names.
Yes.
And the one of the stories in there is the bean, it's the Mayflower bean. It's
yes,
a really
yeah.
old dwarf bean. It was apparently taken to the States with the Pilgrims.
Yeah.
That's why it's got the name Mayflower. But it actually really gained popularity over there. And it was almost forgotten over here. So it was sort of taken from here and then almost forgotten here, but really popular over there.
Mm.
So it's not easy to find in the UK.
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, no.
No, very, very unusual. The actual seeds do look like pebbles. So really pretty.
Kind of almost round, aren't they?
So that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm growing.
There's a lot of great stories with these heritage varieties.
Oh, there is, yeah, always. Yeah, growing one, it's not a heritage one, but it's called amethyst, which is nice.
Oh, yeah.
Purple podded one.
Is that a dwarf one?
Yeah.
Some of them lose the colouring on cooking, don't they? They turn green.
Mm. Yeah, they do.
But again, that's quite ornamental, those amethyst beans.
Yeah, they're pretty. Yeah, they've got nice purple flowers as well, and sort of dark, very dark green leaves and a sort of purple tinge. Mm. Again, you could grow those just to look at, really.
I've got one in the pot, love it.
Yeah.
You did something on borage as well, Steve. It's a brilliant picture there. In the mag.
Yes.
It's an amazing colour, isn't it, borage flowers?
Oh, lovely. Wonderful, yeah.
Good for the bees.
Bees love it.
You put the flowers in your drinks, in ice cubes.
That's right, yeah.
Tastes
very
slightly
nice.
Like cucumber, apparently, the flowers. And
yeah, you can eat the young leaves as well. They're a bit hairy, so I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
eating nettles, but they're edible. They are edible. But I'm growing a few just to planted a few in the polytunnel to try and get the bees in, because bees just love them, don't they? And smothered with them. Oh, we've got a nice feature just to remind you that it's not all work and you do need to relax in the garden as well. Feature on from patio to barbecue. So just about harvesting, we've talked a bit about harvesting, haven't we? But harvesting and cooking. Few recipes there and ideas for you to how to use your produce on the patio.
Mm, you've got your top 10 barbecue favourite veg.
Yeah, well, that's actually all
I see. Potatoes, number one.
Yeah. I like the idea of taking the rosemary stems and using them as the skewers for your halloumi and all for the veg and stuff.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Well. Yeah, you've got to soak them first so they don't just burst into flames.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a useful tip. Because I've not done it, but I'd like to.
Yeah, it does work well, but you do need to remember that.
Yeah,
your halloumi ends up in the fire. But, so hopefully that just reminds you to stop for a while and enjoy your veg rather than just slaving away weeding all the time. Well, so that's just a quick roundup of what we've got in the magazine. There's obviously a lot more than that, and lots of great competitions and things that you can enter, including our Passionate Plotter competition, which you must keep plugging, and our Giant Marrow competition, if you want to grow a marrow along with us. We've got Marvin the Marrow growing on the KG plot, and we're going to see how big we can grow him to.
Yes.
And, if you can beat us.
He's looking promising.
Any tips?
Yeah,
courgette size at the moment. Plenty of water.
Plenty of feed.
Plenty of feed.
Don't give trade secrets away.
No, not too many secrets.
And I've already moved the fruit onto a piece of brick so that it's not resting on the soil.
It didn't rot.
Because it did look like his end was about to rot.
Yeah, you don't want that.
We don't want Marvin's end rotting.
No, we don't. No. Last thing we need.
Yes. Rotting bottom is
rotting
not
bottom
we
is
can't
not
be recommended.
And say thank you very much for joining us, and we hope you enjoy the podcast, and that you'll enjoy the magazine as well, whether it's online or from the shops. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.